Got in the bath.
No times and places for playing with your rubber ducks, Doctor. Well, I'm sure you're familiar with them all. I'm afraid I must remind you this isn't work.
Oh, very well. What's all the kerfuffle about this time?
An emergency message came through for you on the audio circuits. A cry for help. Here, I recorded it for you. It's not very clear, though. There's an awful lot of static.
Whoever it was called me by name.
What's the matter? Don't you recognise the voice?
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's funny, because even through all that static, the voice sounded, well, familiar somehow. As if it was someone I knew.
Most peculiar. And I'll tell you something else peculiar, shall I? That message wasn't received over ordinary wavelengths at all. It was broadcast on a special Gallifreyan emergency frequency.
So whoever sent it must be a Time Lord.
Exactly. Or else someone who knows a great deal more than they should about us.
So what are we waiting for? Let's set the coordinates for Earth and go and find out what's going on.
Well, actually, Rhea, I had thought about getting dressed first.
So here we are, back on Earth.
And according to the instruments, we're right in the southwest corner of my laboratory at Unit HQ. You know, it's marvellous to have the old girl back in fighting form again. I feel I could take on the galaxy.
And win?
Well, let's not split unnecessary hairs, shall we? Now, I'll just open the doors and we'll find out what all this is about. I'm sure the Brigadier will be glad to see me again. You've never met good old Alistair Gordon, have you?
No. But look, don't you think you better check...
The exterior environment? Oh, I don't think so. The old girl knows when she's home and safe, don't you, old thing?
Doctor, you idiot! You can paralyze the ship in orbit! We'll suffocate!
It's not my fault!
I don't care who it is! Just shut the door!
That was too close.
Doctor, why didn't you check the atmosphere?
I was so sure we were on Earth. Look, the coordinates are all set properly. And you can even see the Earth's moon on the scanner. All the instruments confirm that we're in the right place. It's just the Earth that's missing.
Oh, come on, Doctor. How can you hide an entire planet?
Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's been moved. That's one solution.
You imply a second.
Yes, I do, don't I?
Well, go on.
It's the single simplest theory there is, Rhea. Destruction. Total destruction.
I don't think I've ever seen you concentrate on anything for so long without a rest, Doctor. What is it you're up to?
That cry for help must have originated somewhere. I'm trying to track it down.
There is only the Earth's moon in local space. Does humanity have any outposts there in this era of time?
Well, let me find out when we are and I'll tell you. November 1986, not as far as I remember, but then you know what my memory's like. Did you get a fix on any spatial coordinates when the signal was recorded?
I got a line bearing that passed through Mutter's spiral and the Sol system, but apart from that, nothing. We really need to triangulate.
Which we can no longer do because the signal source has stopped transmitting.
Sorry, Doctor. You were going to say?
Oh, no, you go first.
Well, I was just going to ask what we were going to do next.
A very good question, to which I have a very good answer. How do you fancy a little visit to the moon?
How romantic.
Hmm. There we are. Lunar orbit achieved. Present perihelion, 1,500 miles. We should be able to perform a fairly economical aerial scan from here.
What are you looking for?
Inspiration. And there it is.
It's an artifact. A building on the surface of the moon. How did you know it was there?
Simple, really. While scanning local space for any traces of the Earth, the optical systems detected something intermittently wrong with the moon's albedo value. So I checked the readings and found a huge white spot on the lunar horizon, which had never been there before.
I wouldn't have thought the building was big enough to register from 250,000 miles away. It's big, but it's not that big.
Take a closer look at where it's built.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's right in the middle of an enormous glassy crater. I suppose reflected sunlight could have caused the white spot effect you noticed. Hey, Doctor, could this be evidence of warfare? Maybe it's a blast crater, and the building is some kind of fallout shelter.
Yes, that's a possibility, but it seems unlikely a fallout shelter built on the surface would have been able to withstand a direct attack. And then again, don't you think it odd for a fallout shelter to be built on the surface at all?
Yes, it is rather...
Curious, isn't it?
I can assume, then, that we're going to investigate.
Oh, I think so. You know, I can never resist a challenge.
It's very dark out here. I'm glad you brought the torches.
Welcome to the lunar surface. It's normally quite beautiful in a stark, crystalline sort of way. I'm afraid I can't present it at its best just now for lack of... Earth light.
Not to worry, Doctor. I'm...
The crater looks a bit slippery.
I had noticed. Wasn't that, though? Didn't you feel the ground move?
Oh, probably just another moonquake. They happen all the time around here. What's the consistency of the ground like down there?
Weird. You know, this stuff looks artificial. Almost manufactured. As if it were made of wet glass. But look at all those tiny regular cracks in the surface. It's as if the whole enormous crater had been fired in a kiln long enough to crack the glaze.
On the other hand, they could just be attributable to age. Can you see any dust in them?
I don't know. I can't get close enough to see.
I don't suppose it matters. What puzzles me is the shape of the crater. It's too regular to be naturally formed, and there's no dust on the surface at all.
Should there be?
Unless the crater was built yesterday, yes. The moon has no atmosphere to hold dust in suspension, you see. Any dust in the crater should simply stay put. And yet it's clean. Quite clean. As if it were regularly swept clear of debris. Here, I'm coming down to join you. Are you all right? Nothing bruised, I hope?
No, I'm fine. My knee's a bit wobbly, but I expect it will pass.
Splendid. In that case, I suggest we make tracks for our mysterious building out in the middle of the crater. I'm getting more and more curious about this place by the minute.
Hey, Doctor! It's so easy to get round on the moon.
That's the result of moving in a gravity field only a sixth of what you're used to.
It's great!
Just remember, it's as easy to end up on your head as on your feet if you're not careful.
I know. Anyway, we're here now. The building's even bigger than I thought.
It's certainly a feat of engineering, all right. Look at those arches. That central spire. What an incredible artifact. It seems almost deliberately designed to attract attention. I wonder how we get in.
By pushing this button on the wall marked airlock open, I expect. I don't know how you missed it. It's labelled in 37 different languages and at least 3 computer codes.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. Just a feeling. I can't help thinking that pushing this button could be the start of something we can't control. It's all too obvious.
Yes, I know what you mean. This place is obvious, all right. As obvious as a Venus flytrap.
What's one of those when it's at home?
Just a terrestrial carnivorous plant. Its principal diet consists, or rather consisted, of insects.
Sounds disgusting.
And disquieting, anyway. Especially when you consider that on the scale of this building, we're only as big as insects. But still, there's only one way to find out if this place is a trap, and that's to take the bait. I think we'd better stand well clear while I push the button, just in case.
Not on your life, Doctor. You think I'm going to let you go in there alone, hogging all the fun? You've got another thing coming. Besides, I feel safer with you. You're so incredibly lucky.
In that case, perhaps you'd like to do the honours.
No, thank you, Doctor. If I press that button, it'll probably explode in my face. But if you push it, it will probably just open.
Paranoid. Go on.
What did I tell you? What is it? The ground's lighting up. It's getting hot.
There are cracks in the ground, a wire filaments, energy channels. The crater is building up a charge, storing up all those streamers of lightning pouring off the spire.
How can fire exist in a vacuum? It's beautiful.
And dangerous. Quickly, Rhea, underneath this archway. This is incredible. It's like being beneath a water full of naked energy.
What is that, Doctor? I didn't hear you.
I said, look, the air lock's open. We'd better get inside. The Geiger counter in my suit sounds like a football rattle.
Let's hope Arthur is winning.
I wonder to whom we've announced our presence.
I'm more worried about how we're going to get back to the ship.
I suggest we worry about crossing that bridge when we come to it.
Yes, well, let's not defer that decision so long that we have to swim the river. Eh, Doctor?
Good thinking. Still, in the meantime, since we can't get back to the TARDIS...
All right, Doctor. We'll look around. Just to satisfy your curiosity.
It's not just my curiosity that's at stake here, if you recall.
How could I ever forget? It feels old in here, doesn't it? So dusty and unlived in.
Funny, isn't it? I thought somebody would have come to meet us by now. If there were anybody here, that is. After all, we made enough noise to wake the dead coming in.
Why must you always choose such disturbing analogies, Doctor?
Sorry.
Anyway, suppose there isn't anyone here. Suppose there's nothing here at all.
After all the attention someone's already drawn to this place, that wouldn't make much sense now, would it?
You tell me. The Earth isn't where it's supposed to be anymore, and sometimes I suspect that we aren't either. I don't know what to think. Where are we going, anyway?
Fishing. For information.
The computer annex?
Precisely. With the direction neatly indicated for us on the wall in pretty yellow lines.
How convenient. Here, that sounds familiar. Maybe our erstwhile messenger has come to talk to us at last.
You could be right, and I feel in just the mood for some answers.
Hang on, Doctor. Wait a minute.
Wait for Rhea. Meet you at the computer annex.
Terrific. Left in the lurch by a tearaway Time Lord. What overwhelming charisma I must have.
So, my Lucy Godric, there's more than one of you. I wonder if I can get close enough to hear what you're saying.
Wait a minute. Come back. I got your message. Don't you want to talk to me? How frustrating. Gone. What overwhelming charisma I must have. Hello? What have we here? The computer annex. Oh, well, second fiddle it may be, but still interesting enough to warrant some serious investigation, I think.
Follow the yellow lines to the computer annex, he says. Which would be fine if I could only find any. Plenty of other coloured lines. Lots of blues and greens and reds. A veritable epileptic's nightmare, in fact. But typically, no yellow ones.
More seismic disturbances, that's all I need. Another moonquake like that will really bring the house down.
What am I going to learn? Time travelling is definitely bad for the health. I'm beginning to think that every TARDIS should carry a government health warning. Doctor? There you are, thank heavens! I've been trying to find the computer annex. But I'm afraid I got lost. Doctor? Hey, Doctor, come out of the shadows. Look what's up. Where's your spacesuit?
First the strange message, then the Earth vanishes, as do the people I assume are trying to ask for my help. And now this unprecedented lunar activity. What is going on here?
Welcome, traveller. We, the people of the planet Earth, salute you from the depths of history. You have arrived here at the central outpost on our moon far too late to help us. But perhaps you may spread our warning to other parts of the galaxy so that other races may benefit from our words and not succumb to the terrible fate which was our destiny.
What are you trying to tell me, Doctor?
Do nothing. You must both do nothing.
You'll have to speak clearer. I can't understand.
You must both do nothing.
What do you mean, do nothing? And why did you say you must both? Surely you mean we must both, don't you?
And thus was effected the climate of political change which was to undermine the very fabric of our terrestrial society, bringing upon ourselves the first wave of terror.
Oh no! How can all this have happened? What went wrong with history?
Doctor!
Rhea, you took your time getting here.
Doctor, listen to me. I don't have much time. You mustn't do anything.
What's the matter with your voice?
Don't do anything, Doctor. Please.
Wait. Rhea, come back.
I still don't
you
see what...
You must leave this building now. Do nothing.
What?
Leave the room immediately. Rhea!
Doctor! Hey, wait! Come back, I still want to know.
Rhea, where are you?
Doctor! Over here, Doctor!
Come on, Rhea. We've got to get back to the ship.
Wait a minute. I want someone to tell me what's going on around here. How did you put your spacesuit on again so fast?
I've never taken it off. Look, we've got to get off the moon.
Doctor, what?
It's all in the computers. The Earth has destroyed itself in a cobalt fusion war. The moon's breaking up. Tidal stress cancellation has set up sympathetic resonances in the lunar mantle. The crust is already disintegrating. We can only have minutes before the end.
That's not what I mean. You were just here.
Of course I am.
No, before that.
I haven't got the time to get to that now. We've got to reach the TARDIS and get out of here. Someone has been mucking about with history. If we don't stop it soon, the ripples will spread throughout the rest of time and space. The whole cosmic framework is balanced on the sharp edge of a knife.
But wait a minute, Doctor.
Listen to me, Rhea. Can't you hear the moon groaning in her death agony? We don't have any more minutes. I'm not even sure how many seconds.
But what about the energy vortex around the building?
It's manipulable. I shut it down. Now please save your breath for running.
No, don't talk.
I can't breathe, Doctor.
Increase your oxygen supply. Here, let me.
Thanks. That's better. Ow! On my knee.
What?
My knee. I can't walk. Must have been that knock I gave earlier.
Come on, get up.
But I can't. It hurts.
So will you. I'll show you. Come on, run.
Just like you asked.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Get up there.
Here, sir. You look like a gentleman.
Oh, my lord. Must you creep up on a fellow so, woman?
I do apologise, sir, but as I said, you do look like a gentleman to me. I couldn't interest you in any of my wares now, could I?
Most definitely not. Now, please stand aside. I'm already late for a most important meeting with the Lord Salisbury.
Are you quite sure, sir? I really am most delectable when seen in aught but the worst lighting here. Maybe your friend, the Lord Salisbury, might be interested, eh? Maybe we could have a party.
Madam, I am a member of the House of Lords. Look, here's a minute. Now, would you please go away? Gatekeeper!
Evening, Sir Nevitt. How are the streets tonight?
Oh, loud.
Oh, aye. A penny. One stinking miserable penny. From a Member of Parliament, no less. Rotten old skinflint. Here there, gatekeeper.
What do you want, you age-rattled old hag?
Ha. Is there any way to speak to such a purveyor of delights as myself? No, of course it ain't. Now, look here. You seem like a gentleman to me. Not like that old ratbag. I couldn't interest you in any of my wares now, could I?
I hope you're not going to make a habit of taking me to places that explode violently when we visit them, Doctor.
Here, drink this.
Tea?
Hot and sweet, with a dash of Antarian rum. Very good for shock.
In that case, you can make mine a pint. Anyway, are you going to tell me what's going on there? What was the building for?
It was a warning station, an automated hazard marker. It was placed on the moon as a warning to other civilizations. According to its computer, the station was originally constructed by an independent nation on Earth as part of a ComSat network. It was only modified and shipped to the moon after continuous cobalt barrages began a meltdown process in the Earth's core.
And the crater? The enormous energy emissions?
They comprise the modifications. That beam represented the same information converted into photonic particles and blasted regularly out into space, a further warning to any star-faring species.
I knew that shape was familiar. The crater and the building must together form a huge communication antenna.
Exactly right. One able to transmit a message across light years of space.
And you keep saying Earth is such a peaceful place to visit. How can an entire world be destroyed so totally, so quickly?
That's exactly the crux of the matter. You see, according to all the accepted theories of history, the Earth was never destroyed. Well, not in 1986 anyway. Not in our temporal continuum. I get the feeling something very peculiar indeed is happening to the framework of time.
I'm glad you mentioned peculiar things. What were you up to while you were talking to me in the corridor? I thought you'd gone to find the other Time Lord. And why did you run away suddenly and then just suddenly return?
What do you mean? I didn't say anything to you. I did follow two other people for a few minutes, but they ran away. I found myself at the entrance to the computer annex, so I went in and started digging. That was the last time I saw you before we came out. Oh, except when you put your head round the door to tell me something I didn't hear properly, but you ran away again. What was it you said?
I didn't say anything. I was talking to you in the corridor at the time. I never even reached the computer annex. I got lost.
Curious. You said earlier I wasn't wearing a spacesuit when we talked.
No, of course not. You know you weren't. And anyway, I couldn't understand a word you said.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, my intelligence often has that effect on people.
That's not what I meant. There was something wrong with your voice. It sounded peculiar. Why do you ask?
Well, it's odd. You weren't wearing a spacesuit either when I saw you in the computer annex.
That's ridiculous. I never took it off. Doctor, I think someone's playing a very stupid joke on us.
Yes. Or else...
Or else what?
Someone isn't playing a very stupid joke on us.
And if that's the case?
You sometimes ask the most disconcerting questions, Rhea. Now then, how do you feel about taking a little trip to the 17th century? To the year 1605, to be exact.
Why? What happened then?
Well, in our time stream, a chap by the name of Robert Catesby and some felonious friends of his, including one Guido Fawkes, hatched a plot to blow up the then Houses of Parliament, murder King James I of England, and generally throw the world into a political dark age. The thing is, now, according to the Sentinel computer, apparently they succeeded.
Are you quite sure you know what you're doing?
Yes, period dress isn't exactly a difficult concept, Rhea.
You know what I meant.
Oh, according to all historical records, Fawkes' attempt to blow up Parliament was doomed to failure from the very start. Now, something somewhere has happened to alter historical fact. The Sentinel computer noted this as the earliest event differing substantially from known historical fact. It's the keystone, the event from which the eventual destruction of Earth devolves. I must exercise my temporal prerogatives.
Interfere, you mean?
And set history back on its proper path.
Well, I'm still not sold on the idea. All right, so someone has changed history. It doesn't make what you're about to do any less irresponsible.
On the contrary, I feel I'm under a certain moral compunction to correct a situation in which millions of people will not only die horribly and unnecessarily, but which in some cases will not even have been born. There, how do I look?
All right, Doctor, you've convinced me. What can I do to help?
Oh, the old girl is well hidden where she is at the moment, but I don't think it'd be a bad idea to have someone hold her ready for immediate departure. Now, I've materialised the ship very near a building formerly occupied by the Keeper of the King's Wardrobe. The plotters have acquired a sub-tenancy on the building in order to tunnel through to the cellars beneath the House of Lords. Today being the 5th of November, all the plotters, except one, should be at Catesby's house in Leighton. I'm going to see if I can't defuse the gunpowder kegs.
Sounds decidedly unsafe to me, Doctor. Couldn't you just take a message to the King or the Chancellor or something?
And how could I explain my knowledge of the plot without implicating myself by default?
I can see we're going to have to play this your way.
Keep the scanner on. Don't let anyone discover the TARDIS. And if I'm gone longer than an hour...
I'm on my own.
How did you guess?
Look, Harlot, I told you I'm not interested. If the captain ever found out, I'd be hung, drawn and quartered.
Oh, but I'd hide, you see. If he was on the run, that is.
Oh, my God! His Majesty King James's entourage. They've arrived for the parliamentary meeting.
Ooh, the King. Do you think you can manage an introduction, dearie? It's worse than if it's Penny.
You get out of here. You'll let me on.
Ask these ridiculous locks. Why they couldn't have fitted a nice, simple, multi-phase autotronic burglar bungalow, I never know. I could have picked that with my teeth.
But no. And a simple mortise lock and bolt is almost impossible to crack without sophisticated electronic... Ah, almost, but not quite. Now for the inside.
Be careful, Doctor. Hello? What's that? Oh, no, there's someone out there. The idiot, he'll get himself caught.
I see 17th century mine engineering leaves a lot to be desired by way of creature comforts. Ow! Oh, my torch. What a very stupid place to leave a supporting timber. Dead. Just as well I found some matches back there.
Slowly does it and quiet, or wherever it is will see me too. Calmly now, shield the torch. Still, turn it off. Ow! I'll let go! That hurts you!
Well, now, my pretty. Try to sneak up on old Guido Fawkes, would you? He thought no one would recognise me for my 12 years' absence from England. Still, you're a bright young thing, if I do say so. And spirited. But you won't do that again, I'll wager. Silence, wench. Mayhap it'll come to pass you're no common serving girl. Maybe you're an informer. I think you and I'll take a little trip to Leighton. Be interested to hear exactly how Mr. Catesby would have you killed.
That was a wet crawl, all right. My best shoes, too. I hope I don't have to do that again in a hurry. Now, let's see. What have we here? Just as I thought. Barrels and barrels of gunpowder with the fuses already lit. Well, that's soon dealt with.
Do not move, sir! You are under King's arrest!
I beg your pardon?
I'm sure you will, in due course.
But I was just going to extinguish these fuses and inform the King of a plot to murder him.
If you'd said escape from the sewers like a rat, I'd have considered the story more likely. God, extinguish the fuses!
Sir!
Now take the fuse wire and bind him.
But I assure
you... Be quiet!
But there's something you ought to
there's
know.
There's something I think you ought to know, Mr. Guido Fawkes. My Lord Salisbury knows all about your pathetic little scheme. Even now, moves are afoot to trap your fellow conspirators as they hide out in Leighton like spiders in the wainscoting.
You think I'm Guy Fawkes? A forgivable error in the circumstances, but there's been a small matter of mistaken identity, you see.
Silence! There'll be time enough to talk when your scheme is bringing a confession from you in his dungeon.
But
he has a saying, you know. Knowledge is never too dearly bought. He'll probably start soon enough with the thumb screws or the rack. But if you don't cooperate, there's always the Iron Maiden or the stocks and brands. Mr. Walsingham is a very imaginative man, I think you will find. If you do live long enough. However, he will, of course, be publicly executed for treason. I believe being hung, drawn, and quartered is the current modus operandi. I'm sure you'll find the experience enlightening. God, get him out of my sight!
Did you say it? Did you? The King smiled at me as he passed.
He never smiled at you, you old harlot. You're riding in the bushes.
Was not.
Back in the bushes, wench, if you value your life.
I really must protest at this outrageous treatment. I am not a criminal. Look, if you'd only give me a minute to explain to you.
You have no more minutes, Fawkes. Gatekeeper, send word to the stables. Get me a carriage now.
But you're making a mistake.
Make one more sound.
Those weren't the only barrels of explosives in the cellar.
Why did you say so before? God, take some men and find those barrels and make haste. There's no containment and our own before me.
I rather think you'll find it's too late for all that now, Sir Levitt.
Congratulations, Catesby. Your plan has worked a treat. I bet you can see the flames halfway across London.
Shame Captain Winters isn't here, though, eh, Robert?
He never was a great believer in ideals or crusades. I'd like to see his face now.
A veritable doubting Thomas he was. Get it? A doubting Thomas.
Just so, right, just so. Well, gentlemen, I think we have time for just one more glass of celebratory champagne before vanishing into the dawn. I offer you a toast. Catholicism and political freedom.
Catholicism and political freedom.
Mr. Catesby, sir.
Yes, Bates, what is it?
It's Mr. Fawkes, sir.
Well, spit it out, man. He is alive and well, I trust.
Oh, yes, indeed, Mr. Percy. In fact,
I'm right here. Look what I've brought with me.
A pretty girl, Fawkes. Commendable taste.
What is this?
Strong teeth, too. There's good stock in her, I can tell. She'll make a fine wench.
You've missed the point. I caught her snooping around Winniard's place. I think she must be an informer.
What? Was there anyone else?
Well, there was another, a tall fellow. They obviously knew about the tunnel. The man made straight for it while the girl here stood watch. He must be dead by now. I barred the door from the outside to prevent him leaving before the powder kegs exploded.
That's ridiculous. You don't know what you're saying. The doctor was trying to prevent the explosion.
Well, I'm afraid your friend and fellow informer didn't do a very professional job. Bates?
Yes?
Draw back the curtains and allow our guest an unobstructed view.
Yes, sir.
Doctor?
Burnt alive, I'll
imagine. No.
Well, that's one informer dealt with. The only question that now remains is, what to do with your remains?
The king is dead! The king is dead!
You've killed the king, you treasonous scar! Gatekeeper, give me your sword!
Of course, Sir Nevitt.
Oh, no, you don't, my lovely.
You're insurrectionist!
Quickly, mister, this way.
That's very kind of you, Miss... But what about our vociferous friend here?
Don't you worry, thy pretty head, Ort. This here gatekeeper's sword is the right tool for the likes of him. Offer me a penny, would you? Teach you to be more generous. Now, quickly, sir, into the bushes. I expect the survivors be out looking for you long about now. The Lord Salisbury among them, no doubt.
Was it strictly necessary to wound that man so thoroughly?
My mother may have been a noble woman, but she knew a thing or two about human nature. Do unto others as they do unto you, she always used to say, only do it first and don't miss.
Very philosophical, also utter rubbish. But look, what's going on? I'm not who they think I am, you know.
Don't you think I don't know that? But you won't never convince them any different, pig-headed politic mongers, the lot of them. Why, they couldn't raise half a belief in a decent religion between the lot of them, huh? But I bet there's a few charred souls back there you wouldn't have any difficulty convincing of the existence of heaven or hell. Hey, mister? The king among them.
You sound like you're enjoying this.
Oh, I am.
Where are you taking me?
For a ride.
A pony trap. How very quaint.
Just area aboard, mister.
Doctor will do.
Whatever. All right, cabbie, get going.
You got money?
What's this then, fried eggs?
Get up there. Oh, my head. Sir Nevitt. Oh, my God, Sir Nevitt, are you dead?
No, of course not, you fool. Though you might shortly wish that you were. That old witch's aim is as bad as a putter. She only wounded me in the shoulder.
You're in a pony trap, sir. They're getting away.
I can see that, boy. She didn't put my eyes out. Now, quickly, see if you can't find a horse or a cabby, and keep an eye out for any of the kinsmen as well.
Right away, Sir Nevitt.
Good. Now jump to it. I want that treasonous car's head.
Well, Robert, what shall we do with the young lady?
Well?
I say we should kill her now. She's seen all our faces. She could identify any one of us. What did you have to bring her back here for anyway, Fawkes?
It was either that or risk her ruining the plot, John. Both I and your silly sister Catherine were there. Would you have had us both caught and executed?
What do you mean, Catherine was there?
Enough. Guido, I'm not sure you didn't make a mistake bringing her here, but what's done is done. Bates?
Sir?
Go to the cellar. There you will find several small barrels of gunpowder. Empty one and fill it with rocks from the garden. And mind you keep the powder dry. It's expensive enough stuff without having it ruined by damp.
Of course, Mr. Catesby.
Good. Then fetch it and a length of stout rope to the jetty. I will meet you there in 15 minutes.
Might I inquire what you have in mind, sir?
You may not, Bates. Now go about your duties as I have instructed.
Yes, sir.
What do you think you're going to do with me? Wherever you lock me up, I'll scream for help. If you gag me, I'll find a way to get it off. You're going to have to kill me to keep me quiet.
You may have noticed my house lies adjacent to the Thames. It was a beautiful house once, but debt has brought it to ruin, and shortly I shall vacate these premises. After we leave, questions will be asked. The king's men will eventually find their way here. So I am left with the dubious task of disposing of your body.
You're going to drown me.
I had considered that my least difficult course of action, yes. But since I have never listed death by suffocation amongst my favourite pastimes, I will offer you a choice. You may choose to drown with what little dignity you currently possess intact.
Or
I will shoot you first, like a rabid dog.
Spoilt for choice.
I really am grateful for your helping me, you know.
Second thanks are unnecessary, Doctor. Once given is sufficient.
You know, there's a lot more to you than meets the eye, Miss...
What causes you to say that, Doctor?
Your manners speak of a genteel upbringing, yet your aspect is that of a common wench. And where does a harlot gain a purse as fat with gold as yours? Unless, of course, you count theft among your other blessings.
I'm no thief.
Halt, I say! Halt in the name of the king!
Damn, I thought I'd done with him. Don't you ever learn, Nevitt? The king's dead. Drive on, cabby.
Open fire!
I wonder, would you object strenuously if I got off now? I can think of safer ways to travel, and I have a young friend awaiting my return at one of them.
Idiot, where's the set you're born with? Jump now and they'll either shoot you or trample you to death.
I see your point.
Can't you go any faster, cabby?
You got money?
You know I have.
Well, it ain't gonna do you no good. The horse lathering now, I'll have to stop soon or she'll drop. She's an old horse and she's got weight to carry. Not like those king's nags back there.
Cabby, take the next corner. Find another cab with a driver you know and pull alongside.
While we're still moving, sir?
Yes, while we're still moving, or all the king's horses and all the king's men are going to carve us up into so many pieces, nobody will be able to put us together again.
What are you up to? Do you have a plan to elude our pursuers?
Watch me.
Bert, lad.
Yeah, Ralph, what's going on? You in trouble?
No, mate, but you soon will be. Keep driving. I've got a real strange fare for you.
Thank you, cabby. Madam,
Yes?
Pay the man, then follow me.
Jump across to the other cab. Are you demented or possessed?
Possessed with the desire to escape, as you should be. Now, come on.
Keep the change.
Not very much, ma'am.
Hello, Bert?
Yeah?
Don't say anything, just listen. I've got a 10-shilling note here that says you can't lose the king's men chasing us.
10 shillings, sir? I think I would cheerfully tell you all of that one.
If you don't let me go, I'm going to have to scream.
The dying while gagged is so ignominious, don't you think?
What other choice have I?
None. Ah, oh, there you are, Bates. I hope my life never depends upon your being on time.
It won't.
But at least that barrel looks nice and heavy. Well, my dear, we wouldn't want your poor, bloated body floating back to the surface at some importune moment and embarrassing us all, now would we? Bates, be so good as to bind the young mistress's hands.
Are you sure, sir?
Just do as I say, Bates.
We think I might have shaken them, sir.
I certainly can't see them anymore. Here's your money. You earn every penny.
What's this? Platinum? Beetlejuice?
Terribly sorry. Hold on. There you are.
Right, well, where to going, sir?
A friend of my brother's, in Leighton.
Right-o, miss.
Leighton? Who is this friend of your brother's? Just who are you?
My name is Catherine Wright. My brother's friend is Catesby, Robert Catesby. Drive on, cabby.
Ow, do you have to tie my hands so tightly? It hurts.
Sorry, miss. I'm just carrying out instructions.
That's what the British said on Canopus Major the day they wiped out an entire race of intelligent life forms because of the colour of their fur.
Stop prattling, girl. And Bates, don't apologise to her. You can rest assured her discomfort won't last long.
Nice to see you've got my best interest at heart.
Robert Catesby, where's my brother?
He's in the house. Who's that you're holding at sword point?
Doctor!
The second informer. So you're alive after all. Catherine, my dear, you've done good work this night. Go and speak to your brother. He's in the drawing room.
What about him?
Ow! Watch the sword. I've got the point.
He won't misbehave. If he does, I'll kill his friend.
All right then, Robert.
We haven't been formally introduced. Robert Catesby, I presume, the infamous Catholic regicide. May I ask what exactly you intend doing with my companion?
Why, the same as your good self, Doctor. You're my second problem tonight. The river provides an ultimate solution for both. Bates, would you be so kind as to push the young lady into the river? Do I have to do everything myself around here?
Get off me! What do you think you'll do?
Here!
Don't move, Doctor!
Get out of my way!
Oh!
Are you going to get in my way as well?
I'll take this knife. You can cut the ropes more easily.
I didn't want to do it. It was his idea.
Stop him, Bates. Kill him.
A word of advice, Mr. Bates. Never play leapfrog with a unicorn.
Are you deaf, man? I said stop him.
Geronimo!
He's gone.
I am surrounded by fools.
Yes, sir.
Catesby! Catesby! The King's men are riding up the drive!
Surrender! Surrender in the name of the King!
Can you swim?
Like a fish, or my life depends on it. Looks like you finally got your bath, Doctor.
So it would appear. Though I might have wished for slightly more conducive surroundings. How was the rescue?
The rescue was great. As usual, your sense of timing leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh, really? I thought it was rather good myself. And just to show how tolerant I am this evening, I'm not even going to ask you how you got there.
It's a long story. I saw someone following you on the TARDIS scanners. It turned out to be our friend Mr. Cook. He locked you in and thought I was an informer.
A logical inference under the circumstances. I thought I told you not to leave the ship.
I know, but if I hadn't, he'd have found you. He might have killed you.
It might have been better if he had.
I take it you didn't find the gunpowder then?
Oh yes, I found that all right. I also found Sir Thomas Knevett and several of the King's Guard who thought I was Guy Fawkes. They were so intent on capturing me, they failed to notice a second pile of gunpowder hidden in the adjacent cellar.
Are you saying what I think you are?
I'm afraid I am. The establishment of a Catholic Inquisition in England, the second wave of terror, and the annihilation of Earth is directly attributable to me. By trying to correct it, I changed the course of history. It's my fault.
So we're right back to square one again.
Yes. Only wetter this time. Let's get back to the ship. I want to get out of here.
Where are we off to now?
For a slow cruise up the centuries to 1986. Look, it's starting.
Look at that! The continents are shifting. What kind of force can do that?
A rapid meltdown in the Earth's mantle, contact between indescribably hot interior magma and icy seawater on a planet-wide basis. The resultant superheated steam could crack this weakened planet as easily as you or I could crack a joke.
What is happening so fast?
And don't forget we're passing through time, Rhea. What we're seeing is an accelerated selection of computer-enhanced images culled at regular intervals from non-relative time-space.
Oh, I see. Sort of time-lapse photography.
That's right.
That's a proximity alarm! We're too close! It's going to explode and we're too close! Doctor, dematerialize the ship! Doctor, what were you playing at? We could have been killed!
I deserve to be. I've interfered once too often, and this time it's cost me the lives of millions of people and the existence of a planet that was my second home.
Hey, we're back on the moon.
The moon?
That's what I said, the Sentinel Outpost.
Sentinel Outpost? When?
November 5th, 1986.
That's it. That's it. Come on, we don't have much time.
Doctor, what? Where are you going?
I'm going to find me, the stupid numbskull, and I'm going to stop me from changing history.
But wouldn't that mean breaking the first law of time?
Rules are made to be broken.
Rules are made for reasons. You've seen what happens when you interfere, yet you still persist in doing it.
You feel that? The moon's already started to break up. We haven't got much time. Come on.
But I thought, if you went back in time and actually met yourself, well, wouldn't there be an enormous explosion?
Precisely. Which is why you are going to the computer annex to warn my earlier self, whilst I go to the corridor to warn yours. That way, neither of us meets our earlier selves, and nobody gets blown up at all. Ingenious, don't you think?
Sometimes I wonder about you, Doctor.
Oh, don't worry. Sometimes, so do I. Wait a minute. Come back. I've got your message. Don't you want to talk to me? Gone. What overwhelming charisma I must have.
Hey, isn't that you?
Could have been. Yes. The annex must be back there. I'll meet you back at the TARDIS in 10 minutes. Now, off you go, and good luck.
Thus was affected the climate of political change which was to undermine the very fabric of our terrestrial society, bringing upon ourselves the first wave of terror.
Oh, no. And what happened? What went wrong with history?
Doctor!
Rhea, you took your time getting here.
Doctor, listen to me. I don't have much time. You mustn't do anything.
What's the matter with your voice?
Oh, Doctor, you never listen to me. I haven't got any more time. I've got to go. Don't do anything, Doctor. Please.
Wait, Rhea, come back.
I
Zulu.
You must leave this building now and do nothing.
What?
Leave the moon immediately.
Come on, Doctor, the TARDIS is over here.
I thought I got lost for a minute. Did you have any luck convincing me?
No, I couldn't understand a word you said. I don't think you could understand me either. What about you?
No luck. Our doppelgangers always seem to talk with a speech impediment. It must be temporal distortion. We're crossing too many time tracks, you see. No matter how many times we try to talk to us, we'll never understand.
I know exactly what you mean.
Right, well, let's get aboard the ship and get out of here. I think the moon's about to explode. Again.
Well, we tried to interfere again.
And again we failed. There has to be a reason.
Well, look, we've already broken the first law of time once. What's to stop us doing it again?
Going back to a still earlier time to warn ourselves in person? No, our speech would become even more garbled than it was the more often we tried.
So what do we do?
Well, oral communication, person to person, that's out. Yet we have to stop ourselves responding to that message. That's it. We send ourselves a message.
A message to ignore the message for help, you mean? It'll have to go back through time, though, won't it?
Well, that's no problem. We'll send it through the emergency channels. They're designed to handle time-traversing voice signals while phasing out temporal distortion. Here, I'll compose the message right now. Calling the doctor. Calling the doctor. Priority code 1. You will receive a message telling you Earth is in danger. You are to disregard this message. You must ignore this emergency situation. It is vital you do nothing to help. Nothing. Or else a temporal paradox will ensue and the Earth will be destroyed. Have a nice day. Signed, the Doctor. There. Now, all we have to do is align the signal transmitter with our previously recorded location and...
Wait a minute.
What?
Don't do anything.
What do you mean?
Exactly what we've been saying all along. Do nothing. Listen, when we were first in the Sentinel outpost, those people who we thought looked like us, they were us. But we couldn't understand what they were saying because of temporal distortion. They were telling us to do nothing, but we didn't. We did something, and we ended up changing history because of it. Look, can I get to the computer keypad?
Yeah, of course, here. But I still don't see...
You will. Now listen, this is the message we received.
Earth is in danger. Watch. This emergency situation. Earth will be destroyed.
Yes, so?
Now listen to your message when I remove certain words.
Calling the doctor. Calling the doctor. Priority code 1.
Delete. 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 Delete.
New Earth is
delete.
In danger.
Good. Now add background conforming to known temporal distortion. Now add static. Good. Now run once and cancel repeat. You see now?
Oh, my goodness.
You do. Somehow we've become caught up in a Heinlein paradox. You sent the message we received 12 hours ago.
But when?
In a few minutes from now, unless we do nothing.
But I haven't sent it yet, so how can we have received it?
You will have done, don't you see? Unless you do what you've been saying all along. Listen to me, Doctor. Send that message and you condemn the Earth and all its teeming millions to premature destruction.
You're right, of course. How could I have been so stupid?
Because you're part of it. It took an outsider like me to step away and make the connection.
I can see I've got a lot to learn about intuitive leaps.
And I've got a lot to learn about temporal field theory. What's that noise?
It's the paradox resolving itself. I opened up another time abyss when I first sent the message. Now it's sealing. If we're caught up in the new matrix, we'll become part of what was before. The Earth will survive, because it always did. But we'll forget everything. For us, it will never have happened.
But I don't want to forget.
What?
must reach the... You must reach the controls. Controls!
Doctor, I think you'd better come to the console room quickly.
Oh, Rhea, I've only just got in the bar.
There are times and places for playing with your rubber ducks, Doctor. And while I'm sure you're familiar with them all, I'm afraid I must remind you that this isn't one.
Oh, very well. What's all the kerfuffle about this time?
An emergency message came through for you over the audio circuits. A cry for help. Here, I recorded it for you. It's not very clear, though.
I should say so. In fact, I might even be tempted to say, there's nothing there, Rhea.
But I'm sure. I'm sure I heard something. I couldn't forget something that important, could I? No, I did hear something. Don't you remember? Guy Fawkes. The Houses of Parliament. They were going to drown me in the river.
The Houses of Parliament were?
No, Robert Catesby and his cronies. Well, don't you remember?
Now you come to mention it. Yes, I do remember. I do.
But why didn't we forget? Wouldn't we just become part of the new Matrix, like you said?
Not necessarily, Rhea. The old girl can do some pretty amazing things when she puts her mind to it, you know.
Including holding us in a state of temporal grace whilst the whole of creation skipped a groove back onto the correct time track.
You tell me.
So, all is finally well that ends well.
Naturally. And now I've sorted that problem out, I think I'll finish my bath.
Well, you're certainly dressed for the occasion.
And precisely. Time to rejoin my ducks.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Hey, Doctor!
Yes, Rhea?
Have fun with your rubber ducks.
I will.
More than a few party tricks to be a god.
I'm more than a god of this world, Doctor.
More than a messiah. One of these days, you know, I'll be zapped off by some marauding little squirt with three heads, and you won't have the slightest inkling what to do. You'll be lost, Mr. Crouch, by heavens. You'll be lost in a ship you don't understand, in a universe you couldn't even begin to contemplate, in a life...
Go away!
Anybody in?
Truman, what are you doing out here?
Having a spot of rehabilitation, according to the doctor. I think he needs it.
This is a world of peace, Doctor. Join me.
Bunny, you've been working too hard. You know what the doctor's told you about overdoing it?
Where is he?
I let him go. He's going to fetch help for you. The only ones to help.
Stupid! Stupid! Stupid bitch! Oh my God!
I'm being sucked
in! Help! Help!
Stop it! You must stop it!
See her die, Doctor! See her squirm!
You're behaving like a jealous child. Affection isn't a toy that can be passed from one person to another like a doll or a ball. It grows, it develops! You're not going to win my affection by killing my friends.
Rest, my poor friend. I felt your pain as you felt mine.